Going to read from Numbers chapter 22 and verse 21. So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Then God's anger was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way as an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back onto the road. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, so he struck her again. Then the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with his staff. I will pause there. In one respect, this is a rather amusing passage. Balaam is a false prophet. He's a kind of prophet who hires himself out for gold in order to curse people. And he's considered a bigwig, a powerful man in the days in which he lived. And yet he's encountering here the angel of the Lord, but he cannot see him. But his donkey can. Now, things are going to take an even stranger turn. But what we have here straight away really is a picture of Balaam's ignorance of spiritual reality. Now, I believe that when Scripture talks about the angel of the Lord, it's actually Jesus Christ himself before he took on human flesh. So here is God the Son appearing on earth to oppose the false prophet and to defend his people of Israel. And even a sword he carries is drawn. In one respect, I cannot think of anything more terrifying than to have Jesus Christ before you, sword drawn, opposing what you're about to do and everything you stand for. But Balaam does not see it. Scripture speaks of our being in a war. We're in a war zone. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. There is a battle going on, a war which has been waged against God and his truth. And we see some of that war going on in our own lives, in our own country, certainly among the human population of the world. And yet there's also very much a spiritual dimension to it. There are fallen spiritual entities, principalities and powers which are waging war against the living God. We may not see it or hear it, but from time to time, that fighting is in our midst, and we are part of that battle, whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not. There is a whole spiritual dimension around us. But here, Balaam, to say he's meant to be a prophet, is utterly unaware that the greatest one is right before him and opposing him. But the donkey is aware. I wouldn't want to base a whole theology of animals having a spiritual awareness just based upon Numbers chapter 22. But the donkey has more knowledge of spiritual reality than the so-called prophet who rides the donkey. And the donkey is aware that the angel of the Lord is opposing the mission and makes three attempts to divert Balaam from what is an imminent danger to his life. But Balaam can't see it and simply responds with violence towards the donkey. Balaam's anger was aroused and he struck the donkey with his staff. Paul, when he's addressing the Corinthians, comments that not many of them are wise, not many of them are noble, not many of them are esteemed by the world or reckoned to be something big or something respectable. Although there were a few high flyers in the early church, many of them were just ordinary people. Many of them were even below that. They were enslaved. They didn't even own the clothes they wore. Of course, they would naturally be attracted to a faith which saw the value in every human being, regardless of social status or racial background. But be that as it may, the great people, the powerful people, the most educated people, with a few exceptions, most of them, they don't believe in God, or they don't believe in the God of Abraham, or they don't believe in the gospel, and they think that those of us who do are about as intelligent as a donkey. But God reveals himself often to the poorest people, the humblest people, the simplest people. And here we have a donkey shaming a prophet. And here we have a prophet persecuting the donkey, even though the prophet is ignorant and the donkey can see things which he cannot. In verse 28, we come across a very peculiar miracle. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. If ever you were brought up at primary school to believe that the animals around the Lord's crib at his incarnation started to have a chat, well, that's not in the Bible. But this one definitely is. The Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" And Balaam said to the donkey, well, perhaps Balaam has more faith than I have, because I would be flabbergasted if a donkey started speaking to me. But Balaam carries on the conversation. "Because you have abused me. I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you." The donkey, in fact, has saved his life. The donkey is wiser than the man, but in return, the man wants to kill the donkey. We often mention this in our times of prayer and in sermons, but there are people on the earth right now who one day will shine like the stars, but they're languishing in prison, or they're facing a death squad, or they have their houses razed, or their business is plundered. Why? Because they own the name of Jesus Christ. The powerful and the rich, who cannot see the spiritual truth which the gospel has given them, abuse them. Just as Balaam abused his donkey. He would kill the donkey if he could. So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden? Ever since I became yours to this day, was I ever disposed to do this to you?" Well, it seems to me that the donkey has not only been given the power of speech, but the power of logic. Have I made a habit of it? Have I not always taken you from A to B? Why now do you think I've changed? Do you not think there is a circumstance of which you are not aware? And he said, no. He's agreeing with the animal's logic. There is a sense in which our opposition to God and his truth, before we were believers in our natural state, it actually demotes us. We were meant to be the image bearers, but like Nebuchadnezzar, we become more and more animal-like. And I sometimes wonder if the animals who never rebelled against God have kept something more of their purity, which God endowed them, than we have in our rebellious state. And then in verse 31, the Lord opened Balaam's eyes. And he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his face and fell flat, bowed his head and fell flat on his face. Notice here that it's not only the Lord that gives speech to the donkey, but it's the Lord who opens Balaam's eyes. When the Apostle Peter makes that wonderful confession of faith, "You are the Son of the living God," the Lord Jesus remarks that that has not been revealed to him by flesh and blood. He didn't learn it at Bible college or Sunday school or sit down on a mountain and ponder it. But rather God opened his eyes. God showed him spiritual truth to which his natural state was ignorant. How the donkey was able to see the angel of the Lord, I'm not sure. Did the Lord open the donkey's eyes much as he opened the donkey's mouth? We are not told. But now the Lord has opened Balaam's eyes so that he too can see this terrifying sight of the angel of the Lord with sword drawn. What does Balaam do? Well, he can do only what any human could do in that situation: to bow down in worship, to bow down perhaps in fear. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times?" Well, of course, we know why. Evidently, the Lord had concern for the donkey. Not many people know this, but the RSPCA was in part founded by William Wilberforce, the MP for Hull, who's more closely identified with the legislation against the slave trade and slavery itself in the British Empire. But he also had a concern for animals, and so does the Lord. This creation of which we are part is precious to God. And this humble donkey, who is a beast of burden, and I imagine Balaam was a burden, the Lord is concerned. Well, of this be assured: if the Lord notices the falling of a sparrow and injustice meted out to a donkey, how much more does he care about you? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. Balaam is a man who's on a mission to make a lot of money by practicing his divination, his sorcery, his false prophetic utterance, and yet we're told that the Lord has come out against him. His ways are perverse. What on earth must Balaam have been thinking? That he's been caught out, he's being condemned. And yet the Lord continues, "The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live." The donkey saved Balaam's life. But Balaam did not know that. Balaam did not appreciate that because he was living ignorantly. Some of you know, because I've told you before the meeting, but I was in Tamworth yesterday. And there were three men out on the street preaching and evangelising. And some engaged them in conversation. I remember watching one man walk the long way round so he didn't have to receive a leaflet from them. What were the good folk of Tamworth thinking? Maybe they thought that these men have come to annoy them, and we don't need religion. If I want religion, I'll go to a church, and I won't go to a church. These people are over the top. What are they doing? What are they talking about? In fact, they're sharing with the people of Tamworth the best news they could ever hope to hear. News which, should they continue to reject it, will be part of the prosecution's case against them when before the judge they stand. Truly, the Lord will come out to stand against them because their way is perverse before him. And yet he will save, as it were, by a humble donkey. The Lord uses ordinary people, simple people, people of no account, people of no regards, to share the saving news of Jesus Christ with even those who don't want to hear it. There was a time when I think none of us wanted to hear it. I know you might have been brought up in a Christian home and you were a lovely godly child and all the rest of it. But the sinful nature, which we all have, does not want to hear the good news. It wants to say no. It wants to walk away. It would sooner beat the messenger than bow down before the Lord. In fact, the donkey's actions saved the false prophet's life. When we share the gospel with people, they probably will look down upon us. And sometimes they'll reject the message more than three times. And yet the Lord seems to be pleased to use ordinary people, donkeys, to save the lost. To seek and to save the lost. The Lord commends the donkey, even though it is only a beast of burden. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord in verse 34, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. In fact, the Lord doesn't want him to turn back, but that will be a different story. What do we get from this very peculiar passage? And I must close. People will look down upon you. But by believing the gospel, you see far more than they do. And the other point I'd like to use is, you might just feel like a donkey or an ass. But the Lord seems to like to employ such for his purpose. Therefore be encouraged and don't be discouraged. Amen.